Hey, everybody. I just sat down with Nicole Cook and Christy Prizman of St. Columbico Parish here in Papillion, Nebraska. We have a fantastic conversation talking all about the alignment phase of building a clear path of discipleship. If you have a large suburban parish, if that's your experience, if you're just entering into the phase of alignment, you're going to love what these ladies have to share. Take a listen. Hey everybody, welcome to the EquipCast, a weekly podcast for the Archdiocese of Omaha. I'm your host, Jim Jansen. Now let's dive into some encouragement and inspiration to equip you to live your faith and to be fruitful in your mission. Let's go. All right, everybody, welcome to the EquipCast. This episode is part of a special series on how to build a clear path of discipleship. Today, we're going to zero in on the alignment phase. Once you've built some stuff and you've begun to tell people, how do you help the various ministries in your parish to align around your plan for making and maturing disciples, your clear path? See, a clear path is a parish framework designed to help people take their next steps as disciples of Jesus. It's your plan for making and maturing disciples. And parishes that have a clear path know exactly how they connect with people, how they foster conversion, how they help people grow as disciples, and how they equip people as missionary disciples. The concept is simple, but building a clear path doesn't happen overnight. It happens in phases of assessment and discernment and implementation and communication and alignment, which is what we're talking about today. Actually, on location, which is fun. We don't do this very often for the EquipCast. On location here with Nicole Cook and Christy Prizman from St. Columbico. Ladies, how you doing?
Great. Good. Lovely. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing good. Great. I'm kind of geeked out about just being present. Like, you know, this stuff actually travels pretty well. So this is really fun.
Good.
Okay. Give us just a little bit of like context, because all the work that you all have done in building a clear path, it's happened here at St. Columbico. Give people just a little thumbnail sketch. What's St. Columbico like?
Okay. So St. Columbico, we are in Papillion, Nebraska. So just a suburb south of Omaha. We have about 3,000 registered households in the parish. Somewhere between 10 and 11,000 members. We have a school, a kindergarten through eighth grade school, pre-K through eighth grade school. That's newer. I have to remember that. We're predominantly white. We have a strong Vietnamese community here, as well as a growing Hispanic community that we serve. We are adjacent, I guess I would say, to Offutt Air Force Base. So we serve a lot of military families and retired military families. So what am I forgetting, Christy?
We have a very supportive, welcoming community.
And it's growing too, right? Real estate market, there's a lot of undeveloped land still on. So like the parish is growing in part because the real estate market, there's new people moving in all the time.
Yeah. There are lots of developments around Papillion and lots of young families, I think, which works to our advantage in trying to grow an active and engaged community here at St. Columbico. We have 7 masses every weekend. We did this count this week in another meeting. 7 masses every weekend and 10 daily masses throughout the week. So,
yeah, that's a lot. So, yeah, there's a lot here, which is, we'll get there, but like that presents a unique circumstance and some unique challenges to building a clear path of discipleship. So let's just kind of jump in here. If we're honest, you all did most of the work of building a clear path of discipleship before it was cool, before there was a book. How long have you guys been at this?
Well, we started, Nicole and I figured out, we started back in 2018, but don't let that intimidate you. we had a lot happen since 2018, but we were very
bold. A lot of people had a lot happen.
Yeah, we were blessed to have, it's now Archbishop, right?
Or Bishop. James Golka. Let me say that again.
Oh, yeah.
James Golka. Come to St. Columbico and give a just beautiful talk on stewardship. And
it was a parish mission, wasn't it?
No.
Or no? So or just a talk?
We were a stewardship parish in name, at least. And we were trying to give shape to that at the time. And there were 10 volunteers and staff members who attended the McGreed stewardship conferences in Wichita.
Yeah.
And we all heard Bishop Golka speak there and were so moved by what he had to say about stewardship and what it means and how it has, its beginnings have nothing to do with money. Mm-hmm. That we brought him here. It was like September of that year, and we did a day-long workshop for parish leaders and those who were interested.
What really inspired, because I've heard you say this before, just that his talk at the conference and then his talk for the parish really was a spark. What was it? Like, what did that stir up in you all?
Well, I know for me personally, it was his message, which actually ended up in, you know, because it's the truth, in what we call our personal journey, which we created after or kind of while we were changing our mission statement here at St. Columbkill. And our mission statement is helping everyone to take their next step to be more like Jesus. And so what Bishop Golka, I think, really helped us recognize, and again, we hope we all know this, right? That everything we have is a gift from God.
Yeah.
None of this is ours. And it's our responsibility to give these gifts back to others. And so our work in the church, whether it was, you know, our priests or it was our staff like Nicole or it was the volunteers, there was just this movement of our hearts to recognize the value and the importance of giving back, yeah. I think, and letting that guide this whole process.
Well, and seeing God as the ultimate gift giver. I was just watching Bishop Golka's talk again yesterday as we put together some information for another program that we're doing, and we continue to refer to it. And at
wow.
one point, yeah, and at one point in the video, he says, God cannot not give.
Mm.
And
say that again.
God cannot not give.
That's awesome.
So the double negative in there, right? But that really became the centerpiece of, mm-hmm. like Christy said, our personal journey.
Yeah, talk about that, because we'll attach this. It's on your website. We're going to link to the website. We'll put it in the show notes. But you all spent some effort really thinking and praying through how are we going to articulate the spiritual journey for people, so we then can tell people how we will help them as a community of faith. Talk a little bit about what it is. Give people a picture of it and how it was developed.
So when we heard the call for a clear path of discipleship, we were like, what the heck does that mean?
There was not no the book only yet. One.
Right. And I think we took a far more philosophical approach to it as we started. So what does it look like to journey through life in relationship with Jesus? And at the time, the Archdiocese had shared, I think it was like a 12-step, there were bridges, there were, you know, the conversions along the way.
There was a lot of stuff.
There was a lot happening there. And we appreciated what it said, and it really helped us begin. But then we looked at it and said, like, we can't give this to random Catholic in the pew and say, this is what your spiritual journey is going to look like. So then we started to really examine that and to pull back. And, you know, we started kind of like by grouping what does this step in the process look like? And what does that say? And that, trying to think of the process, it involved, you know, as Christy said, we started in 2018. And one of the things we did was restructure our pastoral council. And we talked a lot about insider language and outsider language.
Mm.
And we spent weeks, or if not months, looking at the words on this journey and saying, if anybody walks in the into the church, will they understand what this means? Will they be able to mm-hmm. relate their life to this journey, even if they're brand new to their faith or just beginning to question?
Right. Yeah.
And so this personal journey took shape, and it then has shaped so much of what we've done over the last couple of years at St. Columbkill.
And maybe just because I can see it, we've got it here on the table for our conversation. You know, if you want to, if people want to imagine, you know, God's at the center, and then there's this clock, if you will, you know, kind of start it at 12 o'clock, and it kind of moves through welcome and inspire and connect and learn. And then you have images, you know, kind of this beautiful imagery of fruitfulness, of bare soil and then a seed sprouting and then, you know, fruit being produced. And you guys use this everywhere.
We do.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about it. I love that. Full disclosure, when things go wrong, so St. Columbkill is not my parish, but when things go wrong in the Jansen family household in the morning, I end up at St. Columbkill. So I've gotten to see this several times and I love it. Just how well you have just consistently introduced people to it. But share some of the stuff you've done because it's very encouraging, I think.
Yeah. Well, and if it's okay too, I would like to interject. And it was funny how Nicole talked about the insider and outsider language, because I was definitely the outsider working with our crew a lot of the time. And
right. Because you're on the leadership team, but you're not a staff member at St. Columbkill.
No.
Yeah. Which is very cool. So, okay, keep going.
It's been a great time. But what I really love about our personal journey is that, you know, you mentioned, Jim, that it's kind of like a clock, but we also realize that we are human and that sometimes the time goes backwards, as well as our faith journey and our faith and our choices and our decisions. And so I think the one thing about our personal journey that we really wanted to articulate, and if you think about it, as we were doing this, we hit COVID, and then we lost all these people because we couldn't come to church anymore. And so we were very deliberate on, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to meet people where they're at? Because their faith, you know, their faith life, their faith practices, things had changed for everyone. And not that we wanted that to happen, but it had. And so just that being so deliberate in creating it, but then also answering your question, then being deliberate in getting it out there. And just letting people know that here at St. Columbkill, we love them wherever they're at. And, you know, Father Dave and Father Tom and Father Moser, I mean, they have always been so beautiful about just this, making St. Columbkill this place where we can grow in our personal journey. But if we fall down and we make mistakes, that's okay too. And they still love us here and they're going to help us get back on the path. So Nicole, you can just kind of talk about what we've done with it.
So I think one of the things that's interesting is how we used this to sort of build up infrastructure to then support the programs. And that was all because of our pastoral council that we reformed and their ability to look at what we were doing and be like, oh, you guys have to try again. We have to do a few things really differently.
That's great though. I'm just like, how cool is it to have a pastoral council that has a vision and a sense of mission and who's actually offering counsel? I mean, I can hear you're presenting to them and they're like, good try. Why don't you try again? Like, that's great. I mean, not that you want a pastoral council to say try again, but it shows that there's an authentic interaction happening there. It's really beautiful.
Well, and I think it's also important that the staff was also involved in this process. Right, we put our kind of three circles together. So it was a very collaborative effort. And I think that's the real key and probably part of what took us a little bit longer was because we were taking into account so many diverse perspectives between our staff, our parish, our parish council, and then the pastoral advisory team. But it's also, I think, what makes it so beautiful and so relevant and open to the parishioners at St. Columbkill.
Yeah. Well, and again, not that it's been easy, but there's been I think it seems like from the outside that the community has embraced this and that they've received it. Again, I love coming. I see it's in the bulletin. Yeah. Like Father is holding up a giant handout as he's describing it in a homily. And I've even heard people as they're giving a testimony, let's say inviting someone to a ministry moment, right? Okay, we're having Alpha for young adults. They're referencing, so I'm kind of a 6 o'clock girl, right? And they're referencing this context of I was ready to connect and I wanted more, but I didn't know how. And then I came, and then it's become this beautiful language, which is really, I think it set you up for the maybe even more challenging work of alignment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's, I want to dive in there to alignment. So, okay. Alignment's all about, right, helping various ministries in the parish find their role in how they, you know, connect people to your clear path. You all have this great conviction that you're like, we're not just going to tell people how they fit, but we want to discern with them. Talk about that conviction and then how it shaped your approach to alignment.
So Christy and I, when we talk about like the work that we have done, as she mentioned, we had these three circles of leadership and we use the circle images because we all overlap. So Christy and I serve as part of the pastoral advisory team. We meet once a week for 2 hours with our priests and one another. And when we started with Phil Asala, who mm-hmm. is a familiar name with the Archdiocese because yep. he...
Go Phil!
Yeah. He jumped ship and and went there to help lead really beautiful things.
It was
things.
A call from Jesus.
It was a
It was.
Yeah, he's fantastic. But Phil was our director of mission at the time. And he was talking with other people in similar positions and talked with another parish in town who had decided where they believed the various ministries in their parish belonged on their path, on their clear path. And what he heard from them then was that all of the ministries were like, that's not what we do. That's not where we belong.
A lot of resistance.
And understandably so. I think we've realized as we've met with different groups how much we don't know about the little things that they do or the way that they really bring people to Jesus. And so then we decided we really had to take a different approach. What was this going to look like? And I think we threw around the idea for a couple years, I mean, like really a couple years, of having mission catechists that would be.
Yeah, say more about that. I love that idea. I know it's continued to evolve, but just explain a little bit what you mean by that, a mission catechist.
So the idea was that we would form people within the parish who would just have a more insider knowledge, if you will, about what does it mean to be missional? What does our parish mission mean? How can we bring people along? And then they would go in into ministries that they were already a part of or into groups that they were interested in helping and move those groups along. And that was the idea. But then we kept bringing it up, like really over a couple years, and it just never made sense. Like we could never give it shape. And the reality of any of our groups, you know, because most of them are volunteer based, of being able to go in and sit with them each month for, you know, an additional half hour or an hour and shape them in the mission and change the work that they're doing was like, that's just not practical. That's just not going to work. So we kind of scratched that here within the last year or so.
Yeah. But I love that. I mean, thank you for sharing that because, you know, sometimes when, you know, you read like a business magazine or a testimony in a ministry, you know, like the transformation at St. blah, blah, blah parish. And it makes it seem like there were never any false starts and every idea they had came in a beautiful moment of prayer and everybody's like, yeah, Father, let's do it. And it's like, it just doesn't work that way.
No. We've had lots of moments where we're like, oh, that wasn't it. Try again.
Yeah. So talk a little bit, because you had this conviction like, okay, we have to help people see, right? Like, because it seems like leading with vision, good communication, and being present to people to help them kind of discover how they fit, that didn't go away, even if the idea of these mission catechists did. What have you ended up doing?
Well, I would think, or I would start and say that, you know, you just said these ideas like come from God and they're beautiful. Well, I do believe that this was our path, you know, God has, we have been open to him and now this is where we're at. So even though it won't necessarily come to you in like this aha moment, I think it's just really important to remember that this is God's work. This is God's work for his people and whatever any parishes decide to do, that if they're just open and they're collaborative and they communicate with each other and you just realize that your overall goal, like for us, is to just help everyone take their next step to be more like Jesus, God God will give you what you need. It may take you however many years, but man, can you form some amazing relationships and just grow in your own faith. So I will say that. But but where we're at now with our alignment phase is that there was our idea of our mission alignment tool kind of came to fruition, and there was a smaller group that started work on this and kind of started to put it together. And it was another very collaborative process where it was, again, started kind of with this small group, but then we would talk about it in Pat, and then we would talk about it with the parish council. I don't believe the staff until more in the end had input on it, but we didn't also want to bother them with that because they have a million other things going on. But what we have done with that, and we should mention this, that from our personal journey, we realize, and again, if you're looking at our personal journey, that our first stage is that someone would be longing for something more. And so in order to meet those people where they're at, we found that we have to welcome them and we have to have hospitality. And then once kind of people figure out that they're being drawn to Jesus, then that is our time as a parish to inspire. And then you can keep going around to see how the parish pathway and our personal journey align. So what this mission tool does is we are going out with the help of, Nicole, you said 26 volunteers and staff to help us gather this information using this tool. And so people are meeting with the heads of our ministries and groups and activities, and they are taking the time to sit down with them and meet them. And what we're finding is really beautiful is that they're learning about these ministries and what each of these ministries are doing for our parish. Yeah. And so our ministry leaders are asked to kind of evaluate their group as far as how do they welcome, how do they inspire, how do they connect, how do they teach, or, you know, do their people that they serve learn, and then how do they love? And one thing we've said is that we do not want this to be evaluative at this time.
It's not a test.
No,
right.
There's no good or bad.
Who has a higher score, Knights of Columbus or the Ladies Guild?
Yes, absolutely. Because we have to have people who are strong in every area of our parish pathway. So if your group is really good at welcoming and that's it, then yay for us, because we know, or we will know in the future, that this is the group that someone new to St. Columbkill needs to go to. Yeah. But if we have our people who are really in their faith development of, hey, I understand that Jesus came here to love and serve, tell me what I need to do based on all of the information that we collect from our mission alignment tool, then we will be able to align these ministries with the love, and we will know that, okay, this is where we send our folks who are in that phase of their faith journey.
Oh, that's so good. So, I mean, I can't help, forgive me, right? I'm a guy, but like, I just think about a football team. It's like, I need my punters to be, that they have to kick, and they can be skinny and short.
Right.
They just have to kick the ball very far, you know? And like this idea that like to be a good punter, you somehow need to be built like a lineman. It's like, no, everybody has a role. Everybody has their place. And in many ways, this exercise, I think it seems like it's setting up the whole, you know, like the pastor and the kind of pastoral council and the staff to help shepherd the community so that nobody's getting lost and people can find what they need when they need it.
And it also, like, as a tool to build like infrastructure and support from the parish, like when we looked at this personal journey initially too, we realized that, so like you said, it's kind of like a clock. And we realized that from noon to four, right? So people who are just beginning to long for something more, they're just beginning to be drawn to Jesus. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a program. We didn't have a person on staff dedicated to that. We didn't have monies allocated to that. And so, like, we know from experience that sort of examining where you are in relationship to this helps you do your work better.
Yeah. I mean, we're not like talking specifically about assessment, but I remember like when you guys did that, because I heard the stories, you're like, oh gosh, no wonder we're not connecting with people as quickly and as deeply as we want when they show up, because there's nobody there. We don't have anything doing that right now.
Right.
Chrissy, I want to give you a chance to nerd out just a little bit. You're a professional, right? You're an educator. Tell people about this tool. And if you get too nerdy, I'll stop you. But like, just I want to give you a chance, because it's beautiful, I think, to me, how you have brought a professional experience into this pastoral process. So just give people a glimpse as to like under the hood of this tool.
Sure. Okay. Well, I like data and I like research, and I think Father Tom and Father Moser and the people will kind of giggle at me, but this really is, I think, because I always tell them in the pat that we can't really make decisions if we don't have the data and we're not evaluating. And I'm not using evaluate with a mission alignment tool, but if we're not collecting that data to help us make decisions, because we can hear what people say and we can have all these anecdotal conversations and we can say, well, we heard 7 people say this. Well, you can't make a good decision based on that. And so one of my kind of geeky hopes for this tool is that we will gather all this data, and it's going to be a lot, because Nicole, you said we have 58
groups, ministries, activities that we're doing this with.
Yes. Yeah. So this is going to be a chunk of information that comes in. And so we set a deadline for it, but sometimes we know how the church works, but I know people are submitting the Google Forms already. But then once that information comes in, then we will set up our steps and processes for analyzing the information mm-hmm. that comes in. And I think that it'll take us a while, but it'll be a beautiful part again of, you know, determining based on how people see their work in their ministry, where they align. And then the next step being, okay, so now we can kind of start to put these on the path.
Right.
And then deciding what areas do we need to improve, mm-hmm. and not necessarily what ministries do we need to improve, but like Nicole just mentioned, if we're still a little short around the Inspire, then what might we sure. have to do? But if we're really strong in some areas, then maybe we can learn from what those ministries are doing and how we can strengthen other ministries. So I think the data is what we need to make mm-hmm. clear, effective decisions for moving our parish forward. And most importantly, and Jim, you said something earlier, and I can't remember what the words are, but you just think about what our world is like right now. And mm-hmm. so many people are lost and focused on the things that, you know, are really harmful to our souls. And so I'm just so hopeful that all of this work will really just make St. Columbkill an even more beautiful place for people to come and connect with God, because ultimately we know that that's what is most important. So I hope that answered your question.
That's fantastic. I mean, as you were talking, it's a lot of work. And it's clearly something that the nerd in you loves. But I was going to ask, it's like, why go through all of this? Like, what's it? And you just, you know, like, why does this matter? And you just kind of answered it. You're like, I mean, this is where people connect with God. And if we can get better and help people connect with God more easily, more deeply, I mean, that's what it's all about. That's beautiful. So I just had a super practical level. It is a survey that ministry leaders, ministries are filling out together. And that's going to be providing you some data about where are we really strong as a whole parish, whole community of faith? Where are we weak? Where do we maybe have some redundancy, overlap? It just gives you a full landscape, because, I mean, anecdotally, it's hard to analyze 56, 58 ministries anecdotally. I mean, you can't. actually, and you can't even if you had one person who could conduct all of the conversations, like you need that for the scope of what you're dealing with.
Yeah. And we were, as we looked at that, at the number of groups that we have within the parish and wanting to have these conversations with all of them, we were like, oh, well, which five are we going to start with? Right. And we were like, that's not going to work. We can't just have five on the path this year and then add five more next year. And gratefully, so I will give kudos to Christy. She has spent at least 2 hours every single week for 6 years now, going on 6 years, being at the parish in the middle of the day, in the evenings, on the weekends, giving her time and her expertise and her talents and gifts to this entire process. And like Christy, we have so many amazing and wonderful and engaged volunteers who are doing this work with us. So we have probably about 8 or 10 staff members who are working with one to three groups. And then the other 20 some people that are doing this, or however many, 18 that are doing this, are volunteers, current and past members of our pastoral council, people who are just engaged in ministry work, who are passionate about this and want this for the parish. And they're the ones helping us sort of do this almost shotgun tee off to the mission alignment.
Right. Because you thought about, well, maybe we'll just do a couple, and you realize, no, we have to do everybody.
We have to.
Which meant, because of the scope, man, you got to get a lot of volunteers.
Right.
Okay, so maybe a little off script. Like, I know you're not done yet, but what are you learning? Just at the very beginning, I know some of these conversations have happened. What already, before all the data's in, I know, but like, what are you learning already?
Well, we did pilot it. We've piloted the survey, because we needed to figure out if it was something that was going to work for us. Right. And I would say, in my piloting, and then Nicole she's already done her first one, is just the beauty of sitting down with these ministry leaders and learning about what they do and how much they, like, dedication and love and service and passion that they put in to leading their ministry. It's incredible. Like, it's so beautiful.
And their own realization of what they're doing. Like, 'cause I think so many of us get involved in something that we're like just signing up to be involved in this ministry or in this group. And yeah, I can serve at Fish Fry or whatever. And then, you know, you end up being the leader of a thing, 'cause that's how church work works.
And last woman standing.
That's right.
I guess I'm in charge.
I guess I'm it. And, you know, and now you're a few years down the road and you're just doing the thing because that's the thing that you do. And this conversation is looking at it and saying, but you also do this and you do it really well. And you're bringing people to Jesus through these seemingly really small tasks. And isn't that beautiful? And we just don't take the time for that kind of reflection anywhere in our world. And so to sit down and have, you know, whether it's a 30-minute conversation or
an hour and a half
or whatever it might look like, that to really reflect on what you do and why you do it and how you might do it differently or continue to improve in ways that you want to improve. Like, that's just a real gift.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, Jim, if I can just say one other thing too, real quick, what Nicole just said, it is giving them, it's giving our leaders an opportunity to reflect and figure out what they want to do better. Because sometimes with life, when life is just so busy, we just keep doing our thing and nobody's really complaining. So I'm just going to keep doing my thing. But when you have time to have a conversation with someone and really truly think about and reflect on your actions and what it is you're doing, it is really neat to hear people go, oh, well, I guess I never thought about my role in inspiring, but I have this great idea of what we could do next year. And so I think the whole process is actually going to bring, I hope, a lot of new life even to our ministries and our parish.
Well, yeah, as I'm listening to you all, like, what I can hear, you've used your clear path and the personal journey, like this language, to create a framework, right, so that you can affirm people in maybe a gift that they had forgotten they had, a contribution that they didn't quite recognize they were making. And it sets up unity. It's like, you know, like, hey, you guys are also doing this, and Do you know who's ready for the, who can help people for the next step? And it just, it helps people recognize. And that's part of like, you know, I know a ton of our listeners are familiar with things like Gallup StrengthsFinder and Working Genius and all those little assessments. Half of the benefit of those tools, I think, isn't just my individual personal knowledge, but now I have a language to understand and appreciate and honor that teammate who I knew was a gift from God, but it was taking a little bit of faith at the moment. And now I have a word to say, oh, that thing you do, that it's called analysis, and thank you, it's a gift. Sometimes it's a little annoying, but like it gives, right, you have this language to affirm
right.
The contribution of these ministries. Okay, so let's just be really honest. Let's talk about some of the hard stuff. What do you do if a ministry, maybe they're not healthy, right? Like they're struggling to contribute to the core mission of the parish. They don't seem to be capable of connecting people to the clear path. How do you handle that? Because that's hard. Nobody wants to have that conversation. You know, even our bravest, most courageous pastors, you know, they'll walk into a hospital room, you know, in the midst of death and grief and fearlessly. But then, you know, talking to the Ladies Guild about, you know, being a little off mission, it's like, eeks, they're like, I'd rather not. How do you handle those things?
Luckily, we aren't there yet. So, I think a couple things. One, we aren't to the point of like needing to prune ministries or knowing what ministries need to prune if that's a thing that happens.
Sure.
And very honestly, I've been a part of the parish and involved in the parish for nearly 20 years or 20 plus years now, I guess. And I know a lot of these ministries pretty well. And looking at the list, like there's nothing that jumps out as like, oh, we got to get rid of them. They're just dragging us down.
Yeah.
But there are places that I know we can help people grow in how they serve the parish and mm-hmm. how they serve one another and how they grow in their own faith life. So that's what I hope really comes from this is I don't know how you handle those conversations, very honestly, because mm-hmm. like you said, there's way easier things to do, like walking into the room of someone who's dying, right? Like yeah. that's seemingly easier. But I don't foresee right now having to say to somebody, this just isn't it. We just can't support what you're doing at all. It might change, right? We might have to say, well, we're going to continue to have you meet and do your thing, and we're going to help you improve in this way. But you also have to recognize that if we need the space or the resources for X, Y, or Z, that's going to take precedence.
Yeah. That's great.
So in helping set some priorities, I foresee that being one strong result of this. But as far as like pruning ministries or pausing anything long-term, I don't foresee that, I guess. And I could be totally wrong, but that's just where I am with it, I guess.
I love how you're entering in. I mean, you're entering in with an open mind and an open heart, and you haven't predetermined. There's not like conclusions that you've already come to.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Ladies, what do you think, what's next? Like as you think about, and obviously you're deep into this process, you know, trying to help ministries discern together how they fit. What's the future? Because you've been at this for a while, and you've seen a lot of fruit. I mean, we haven't talked about, but you know, the conversion moment that you all have in Alpha is beautiful, and on its what? How many times?
17th season.
Yeah, 17th season.
Ago. Yeah.
Which is beautiful. I mean, you've seen so much fruit. Do you have an inkling as to where the Lord's leading next?
Well, so we are also in the process of completing a strategic planning process here at St. Columbkill.
Right.
And I foresee that this information is really going to help inform many of the decisions that our strategic directive committees are making. And just again, you know, we've used the term framework and our personal journey and our parish pathway, because I, as an educator, I believe you have to have the theory to support what you do. And so I believe that this information and how we can create the clear path is really going to help in our decision making for our strategic plan.
I agree.
That's
and hopefully just bring more people to Jesus and help them take their next step. And so those are very big things right now, but that's all we can do until we get the data.
I love it. It's really beautiful. Any final advice as you think about, you know, before we turned on the microphones, I, you know, took Nicole on a little time machine journey. Like, what would you say to people, you know, if you could talk to yourselves, you know, go back in time 2-3 years ago. I mean, maybe when things were really hard in the middle of COVID, where everything was topsy-turvy and confused. And to those who are listening now are like, I don't know. And they're just, you know, like this, the idea of trying to enter into alignment conversations seems scary and overwhelming. What advice would you give?
Wow.
I know. I had one answer earlier and now I'm not sure it's the same. I don't know. I think to look for the fruit along the way, and never shortcut the prayer. Like, we learned that really early on as the Pat started to meet. We had set aside 2 hours, but parish life is what parish life is. And we would be like, oh, well, we've got 2 hours, but I really could get out of here in 90 minutes today and that would help me. So, you know what, we're going to just do a quick prayer and we're not going to take time for Lexio today and we're going to wrap up a little early. And we learned very quickly that the conversation changes when you set aside the time at the beginning for quieting your mind, turning your attention to the Lord, and listening to what He is saying to you that day. So we start our meetings with Lexio, and if it takes 10 minutes, okay. If it takes 25 or 30, great. And just to really rely on that and to look for the fruits of that prayer each step of the way, because the temptation will be there, right? There will be roadblocks along the way from unexpected people and unexpected voices, and it will feel really defeating. But when you're looking for the fruit, when you're looking for the good in this process and listening to the ways that God is calling you to continue this, it's a little easier to just keep moving along.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It is. And I think too, because it is sometimes when you think about the volunteer and the hours that people will put in for the church, and it's like, oh my gosh, I have to go to another meeting. But I think too, for anyone out there that's like, okay, I think I could help with this or we could do this. I think also thinking about the way that we grow personally in our own relationship with Jesus, but also the people in our parish. And so that even through all the struggle and all the challenges and what has seemed like to take forever sometimes, the beauty in the process is can come in so many ways. And it's not just the end result. It's the journey part of it as well.
Wow.
But you do. You have to be tough. You have to have a little grit, a lot of perseverance, and you just can't quit, because ultimately we want to get to heaven, and we have to have a relationship with God, and we have to help people have that.
Oh, thank you, ladies. Thank you for the conversation. Thanks for everything you do. You know, you guys are really. I mean, you are entering into this phase in this process, again, I think with a courage and a precision and on a scale that you know, is bigger than most. So thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. You know somebody who needs to hear this conversation. Maybe they're a nerd. Maybe they really, you know, they're like, oh, I want to see that assessment. So go check out the show notes. And when you get to your destination, share this out with a friend. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to the EquipCast. We hope this episode has inspired you to live your faith and equip you to be fruitful in your mission. Stay connected with us by going to equip.archomaha.org. God bless, and see you next time.